I'm going to read John 14, verses 1 to 21. Jesus is saying, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way?" Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. If you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him." Well, we were thinking about, do all religions lead to God? And I found it interesting when I was sort of thinking about appropriate places in the Bible to go to. And John's gospel, I just seem very appropriate. Quite often a number of things that come through in John's gospel talk to this subject. There was a newspaper article in the year 2000 in America that discussed a plan by the Southern Baptist churches of America to send 100,000 people as short-term missionaries to Chicago in 2001. And the article quoted a church minister from another denomination, and he said this, "I'm always fearful when we in the Christian community move beyond the rightful claim that Jesus is decisive for us to the presupposition that non-Christians are outside God's plan of salvation. That smacks of a kind of non-Jesus-like arrogance." That's what this other church minister said at this plan to send missionaries to Chicago. It raises the question, is it right for Christians to share their faith with people of other faiths or perhaps of no faith at all? Is it the case that all religions lead to God, and that Christians should be pleased to see people of any faith, not just the Christian faith? There was a bit of a fuss a few years ago when it became public that if and when Prince Charles becomes king, he doesn't want to be known as defender of the faith, as the current queen is. She's the head of the Church of England. She's the defender of the faith. Prince Charles wants to be known as the defender of faith. He's taken out the, just the defender of faith. And one royal source apparently called it a subtle but hugely symbolic shift. Well, it's not particularly subtle. It is a huge shift. It's far more than symbolic. It's saying that there isn't one way to God. It's saying there are many ways to God, all as valid as each other. What's important is having faith, not what you have or what or who you have faith in. All religions lead to God is the message. But is that right? Is that right? And many people today would say that it is right. Perhaps it's a comforting message, a message that God is big enough to accept everybody, whatever their faith, because he's a loving God. Perhaps another way of putting it might be to say that we don't know the right way to God. So one way is as valid as another. To say that there is only one way to God is arrogant, as that Christian minister in America said. It's arrogant. It's intolerant to say that there's one way. Now, the view that all religions lead to God, that there's no one religion that can claim absolute authority to teach truth, is called a pluralism, religious pluralism. You don't need to remember the word, but I'm going to use the word pluralism sort of shorthand. It reduces the number of words I have to say. So I'm going to call it pluralism, if that's okay. And a lot of what I'm going to be saying comes from an article by Richard Cunningham, because he used three tests to look at pluralism and see if it makes sense. Three tests to see if the idea that all religions lead to God makes sense. First one is, how useful is this view for helping us live? How useful is it for helping us actually live? Does it help us in knowing how to live for God, or how to live at all? Secondly, does pluralism describe things as they really are? Does it correspond to what we see around us, to reality in the world? And thirdly, does it make sense? Does it make logical sense? Is it just sensible, a sensible view? So firstly, how useful is the view that all religions lead to God for helping us know how to live? Does this view help us know how to live? Well, the problem straight away for the person who thinks that all religions lead to God is that if that's true, then there's no absolute truth. And therefore, there's no basis for how we are to live. We end up thinking that we can live as we want. It doesn't matter. And I suspect that's one reason today why so many people like to think that all religions do lead to God, because then they don't have to worry about making a decision. They don't have to worry about thinking the different religions through. They don't have to worry about how they live. They can live as they want. They don't have to decide on a specific religion. And the problem with that view comes when someone does something that they don't like. So suppose this person who thinks that all religions lead to God finds someone burgling their house. And you wouldn't normally start an argument with a burglar in your house. If you came downstairs and you found somebody in your house, you wouldn't start an argument. You'd try and get rid of them or phone the police or something. But bear with me. This person coming down the stairs meets a burglar and they start an argument about what's going on. And the burglar says, I want some of what you've got. You've got more than me, and I want some of it. And the pluralist is going to say, no, this is mine. This belongs to me. And the burglar will ask, on what basis do you say that? The pluralist could say, well, on the basis of the law of this country. The law of the country says it's mine, so you can't have it. And the burglar then asks, well, on what basis is the law of this country made? How does it say that? Why does it say that? The pluralist could possibly say it's the will of the people. The people have decided that the laws of this country are the laws that are going to be in place. And the burglar could point out that Germany actually elected Hitler. Hitler was elected by the German people. He was doing the will of the people. It kind of shows that the will of the people can be wrong, unless you're willing to say that what Hitler did was okay. So the burglar can say, I want some of your stuff because you've got more than me. And the pluralist has no real argument against him. There's no basis for morality, no basis for truth for somebody who thinks that all religions lead to God. Now, if you got a bit lost in that conversation between the burglar and the pluralist, the chap who is eminently quotable, Richard Dawkins, puts it more simply. And this is his view He says, I couldn't ultimately argue intellectually against somebody who did something I found obnoxious. I think I could finally only say, well, in this society, you can't get away with it, and call the police. He doesn't have a reason for saying that something is wrong. There's no morality. If it doesn't matter whether we are Hindu, whether we're Sikh, whether we're an animist, a Christian, then there's no real truth. There's no real basis for truth or morality. What that means is that pluralism doesn't help us know how to live. It doesn't give us any guidelines for life. In the Bible, we read Jesus answering a question put to him in chapter 6, verses 28 and 29. The crowd asks Jesus, what must we do to do the works God requires? What must we do to do the works God requires? How can we know God? Well, Jesus answered, have faith. Doesn't matter what it's in, but have faith in something, and that'll lead you to God. Hopefully you picked up that's not what Jesus said. He said, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. Jesus says that the starting point for getting to God is to believe in the one that he has sent, Jesus himself. And it's actually a bit difficult for me to say that that's right for me, but not right for you. Jesus is pretty categorical here. The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. And in contrast to pluralism, if we do believe in him, we do have a basis for how to live. There is meaning in life. The second test is, does it describe what we see in the world? Does pluralism describe how things really are? Does it describe what we see and experience as we live our lives? Well, actually, I think you could say, yes, it does. If you think about music or sport or reading, people have different tastes. They prefer different things. And you could say the same thing about religions. There are lots of different religions in the world. There are some things like the Jedi Knights, who seem to be a recognized religion now, Rastafarianism, things like that, through to the major world faiths of Islam, of Judaism, Hinduism, Sikhism, Buddhism, and Christianity. So many flavors of religion. And pluralism would say, go with the one that suits you best. Go with the one that you like, that matches your tastes. We were at Longleat a few weeks ago, and there was an old-fashioned sweet shop there. And there were lots of jars, the big jars, lined up on the wall with loads of different types of sweets in. It took me back to my childhood when my dad would take us down to the sweet shop, and it would be just like that. You could have a quarter a pound of sweets for 30p. It's a little bit more expensive now. In fact, you could have lots of different sweets if you wanted. You could put lots of different sweets into that one bag, depending upon your tastes. And it's like that with religions today. Lots of jars lined up on the wall. And you can choose the one that suits you best, the one you like. There's even a jar up there with nothing in it for the atheist. There's a jar up there with jumbled sweets in for the one who's not quite sure, the agnostic, doesn't really know what to choose. And you might think that that seems reasonable. Sort of religion is just one other thing, like your taste in books or music or sports or whatever. But there are some things that you can actually test. There are some things that can be empirically tested to see which is actually best. So if you think about sports, I watched some of the tennis this week and I was supporting Andy Murray. I wanted him to do well. But is he the best tennis player in the world? He's not at the moment. I think it's still Rafael Nadal. He is the best tennis player in the world. He wins more matches of the big matches. Are Liverpool better than Salisbury Football Club? You'd have to say, empirically, yes, Liverpool do better than Salisbury Football Club. I'm glad David's not here this morning. He might have been a bit upset, but Liverpool are better than Salisbury Football Club. I'll take the example of an aeroplane. I don't know whether you've been on holiday abroad before and you've got to the airport. Does it matter what aeroplane you get on if you're going somewhere? If you're going off to Ibiza, as many of you may be this summer, to enjoy the all-night music, does it matter what plane you're going to get on when you get to the airport? Does it matter? Well, of course it does. If you get on the wrong plane, you'll end up in Switzerland and you'll spend your week snowboarding, perhaps, instead of the all-night music. But of course it matters what aeroplane you're getting on. You want to be on the right one to go to the place where you're meant to be going. There are some things where it's not just a matter of taste. It matters what you choose. In this chapter 14 of John's Gospel, Jesus says, "I am the way," verse 6, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." That's what Jesus says, and we can test that. Is that true? And just as a slight aside, we shouldn't be worried or troubled about the fact that there are many religions in the world, because the Bible tells us that we can learn something of God in creation and through our consciences. And if that's true, we'd expect people to try and work out who God is and get to God, how to know him better. So we shouldn't be surprised that there are lots of different religions in the world. And we also shouldn't be surprised to find that there is truth in other religions. Many do have ethical principles that Christians can agree with. Beliefs about the importance of life, love for one another, doing good to one another. Some religions say that there is just that one God. It shouldn't surprise us when there are similarities between religions, because that showed us that there is a God who has revealed something of himself in conscience, in creation. But the different religions do make exclusive claims, claims that don't, that if they're true, nothing else can be true. So Muhammad says that only Allah is to be worshipped. Buddha claims that there is no God, or that thinking about whether there is a God is not worthwhile. It doesn't make sense. And Jesus says, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." He claims to be the very Son of God. And we need to think about that and test that. And that's why the resurrection is important for Christians. The resurrection is important because Jesus is alive. He's defeated sin and death. But it points to the fact that he is who he says he is. He is the Son of God. And if he's the Son of God, then we need to follow him. And that leads to the third test of pluralism. And this is whether it actually makes sense to say that all religions lead to God. Is it logical to say that? And this is the one test that I just can't get my head around. I can't see how people can think all religions lead to God. So Christians, Jews and Muslims, they would say there is one God. When someone becomes a Muslim, they have to recite a creed, something called the Shahada. And it says, "I profess that there is no other God but God. And Muhammad is the last messenger of God." They're declaring that there is one God. And we, with the children earlier, we looked at the verse in Deuteronomy. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." And Jews and Christians would say, yes, that's true. So those three religions all say the same thing about there being one God. But Buddhists don't have a clear idea of who God is, if there is a God. Many Buddhists would say there isn't a God, certainly not a personal God. And Hindus believe in millions of gods, 250 to 300 million gods they believe in. Just like the time of the early Christians, most people around them would have thought there were many gods, not just one God. So unless you're willing to give up any kind of pretense of logic, these can't all be right. They can't all be right at the same time. There is either one God or 250 million gods or no God. It's just illogical to say that all religions lead to God when they actually differ on who God is or how many gods there are in the first place. As the picture used quite often by people who think that all religions do lead to God, it's the picture of a mountain And there are different paths going up that mountain that all reach the top. The point is, it doesn't matter which path you take. You're going to get to the top in the end. And the pluralists will say each path represents a religion. Follow that religion. It doesn't matter which one, but follow that religion. And in the end, you'll get to the top of the mountain. You will reach God. Well, the Muslim has to live by the five pillars of Islam. Daily prayers, giving to the poor, fasting during Ramadan, reciting that creed I said earlier, and if possible, going on a pilgrimage to Mecca. And the Quran says this, "Every man's actions have we hung around his neck, and on the last day shall be laid before him a wide open book." For a Muslim, there's going to be a book about their life that will weigh up the life of that person. And it's on the basis of that book that Allah will decide whether that person is allowed into heaven, into eternal life in heaven. That's what the Muslim thinks as he's climbing up that path. The Buddhist, though, as he's climbing the path up the mountain, has to kind of think that the mountain isn't real. Nothing physical is real. The Buddhist must free themselves from wrong desires as they're walking up the path, from grasping at things. They follow a noble eightfold path to become one with everything. Two different paths that I don't think make sense if you say they're both heading to the same place. And in answer to the question that was put to him of what must I do to be saved, the Apostle Paul said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved." He's saying that God saves us through our faith in Jesus Christ, in his death and resurrection. So that's just three different religions, three different paths up the mountain. But they're so different that to say they're all right is just simply illogical. Take one other example. Muslims don't believe that Jesus was crucified. The Quran is explicit that they don't believe that Jesus was crucified, whereas for Christians, the cross is the center of our faith. So you can't say that the two of those are both right and both lead to God. It would be like saying that 2 plus 2 is 3, 4, or 5. It doesn't matter. You kind of get to the same answer in the end. So there's three tests as to whether all religions lead to God. How useful is it to live by? How does it match up to reality? And does it make sense? And in each of these tests, the view that all religions lead to God, I don't think does very well, particularly the third one, to my mind. But actually, to say that all religions lead to God is an arrogant thing to say. You might think that sounds a little bit odd, but people who say that all religions lead to God are saying that Christians are wrong, that Muslims are wrong, that Hindus are wrong, that Buddhists are wrong, that Sikhs are wrong, when they say that their way is the only way. So think about the picture that I put on the little cards advertising this morning. You might have wondered what on earth that picture was all about if you haven't heard the story before. But it's an old Indian story, I think, about some blind men who are touching an elephant. Now, basically, they're trying to work out what the elephant is. What is this elephant like? So one man holds the trunk and thinks that the elephant is a little bit like a tree. One man feels its side and says that the elephant is just like a wall. A man might be holding its tusk and thinks that the elephant is a horn. One man might be standing behind the elephant and it's probably a little bit smelly there, so this thing smells. The point is that each of these blind men have some of the truth, but not all of the truth. So the pluralists will say that's just like the religions. You've all got some of the truth, but none of you have got all of the truth. But the person who thinks that all religions lead to God, the pluralist, is saying that he or she is outside the picture looking on. The pluralist actually knows best, knows better than any person following any one of these religions. He's outside the picture, seeing the blind men fumbling around. He can see, he knows best. And it's the same with the picture of the mountain and the paths leading to the top. There isn't a mountain there. I couldn't find a picture of a mountain with lots of paths up, but that was the best that I could find. Lots of paths getting to the same place in the end. The pluralist thinks that he's got the real truth. He's the one outside of the picture again. He can see that all of those paths lead to the same place. The pluralist thinks he knows best. The pluralist would think that Christians are arrogant themselves if they say that they are giving the truth, the truth, the only truth. He'd think the same of Muslims and other people of other religions. But actually, the pluralist is in the same position. He or she is arrogant in what they are saying. But the Christian thinks that he's right as he reads the Bible, as we learn about the Lord Jesus. But for Christians, there is an inbuilt protection against being arrogant. Sadly, it hasn't always protected Christians from being arrogant. Some have acted in arrogant ways. But Christians of all people should not be arrogant, because we believe that we fall short before God. That's part of the message of the Christian faith. We're not good enough to know God. How can we be arrogant when we can't save ourselves and we need God to save us? We can't be arrogant. Jesus had to die on the cross for us. We can't save ourselves. And just to close, if I was going up a mountain, if I was taking a dangerous path up a mountain, I'd want to go with somebody who'd been there before, who knew the way, who'd been to the top and come back again. And the uniqueness of the Christian faith is that Jesus did know the truth because he was the Son of God. But he wasn't arrogant, he was humble, and he was a servant who died on the cross and rose from the dead. If you like, he's been to the top of the mountain and he's come back again. He's shown us the way to God and he can lead us to God if we're following him. If you still have doubts as to whether the Christian faith is the only way, just think, why would Jesus be willing to go through death on the cross if all paths lead to God? He died there because that's the only way for us to know God. If other ways lead to God, Jesus didn't need to die. He didn't need to go through that. But Jesus was willing to die on the cross because he knew that's the only way for us to know God. He said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And we can thank the Father in heaven for him so that we can know God. Amen.